welcome to Final Fights. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who just got done with a very strenuous alley fight. It's Chris Kelly.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe it. But I just had to go to the ghost of my mentor mentally, and he kept telling me to get up, and I had one more round in me. Or if I did lose, at least I gave one more round. Thankfully, I gave him that one more round, because then I became the victor.
One more round.
Don't really remember Mick ever saying that in the series, but you know, hey, like...
Do you see a large Russian punching you in the face during these things?
As I frequently do when I go to Mark Hoffmeyer's house, which is the reason why I stopped recording at your house, is every time I'd ring the doorbell, all of a sudden I get clobbered in the face by a 6 foot, 9 inch, 12, 13 inch guy.
Yep, Sergey. Yep.
Yeah. You know, Mark, I mean, what you save in your security costs have been phenomenal, but I got to admit, my nose is finally healing.
Good. I mean, you look cool, man. I mean, that episode that we recorded, you had a honk in your nose for a long time. That was annoying.
Yeah.
But since you got it coming to my house, I just let it get away with it. But we were talking about idle hands, and you're like, so during idle hands, honk! And then blood would get in your mouth, and it was it took me forever to edit, Chris Kelly, and I was really disappointed with you because of that.
Well, thanks. You tell me now. It's only been like, what, 2 years? Now you got the problem with it? Jeez, Mark.
Hey, so on a scale of one, Rocky V to They Live, wait, you can't really, but where would you rank this next to They Live? Is this close? Is this 10 miles behind? Where is this Rocky alley fight, street fight next to They Live? The fight between Keith David and Roddy Piper.
Yes, that was beautifully choreographed by one of the stunt guys that we had talked about. That's right. Him and his brother or his cousin, I can't remember which. They were the ones who mapped that out. But anyways, this fight is actually not bad, in my opinion. It starts in the bar where they're going to fight. Where Tommy Gunn, who was Rocky's, I don't know what you would say, like he discovered Rocky discovered him, or Tommy sought him out, and then Tommy got too big for his britches, and then he wanted to fight Rocky.
He got too big for his tracksuits.
Yeah. Quite literally, he jumped in a bunch of different outfits in one night. I don't know if anyone else caught that error. There was about two different costume changes on Christmas, which is really, they weren't even like kind of close. Like the girl is wearing gold and then she's wearing bright green, and the supposed to be the same night. Anyways, so it starts in the bar, and Rocky says, my ring is in the streets. So they go to the streets to throw down. And it's actually, I mean, as far as street fighting movies go, this was actually a pretty decent brawl. Rocky really did show some really good moves, especially whenever he trips.
When did he learn those?
I mean, in my opinion, it makes sense because Rocky is a street brawler. That's where it all started. And we all see, I mean, everybody knows the Rocky franchise, especially if you're watching Rocky V, you darn well know the franchise. So you are aware that Rocky was a brawler. However, yeah, to counteract with that, we never actually seen him do a street brawl.
No.
Until this movie. Mm-hmm. And he does some seriously good moves, which whenever Tommy charges him, trips him, and he kicks him again while he's down and wallops him a bunch of times, it's a lot of good street fighting. But what Rocky has on the upper hand to Tommy Gunn is that Rocky is from the street.
Yeah.
He's hot, you said?
No, he has heart. He has, you know, he has heart. That's what Tommy had. I was trying to talk Tommy, like Mickey. Hey, you got hot.
He ain't a tomato can. Which, how many references were to tomato cans were in Rocky V? Hell, even Adrian was cooking from tomato cans.
Only in America.
That sentence was said, I think, at least 7,000 times. but Tommy Gunn, his background is more with getting beat by his drunken stepfather, as he says at the dinner table, which he has no issue with actually talking about. And Rocky was more about fighting for survival. So for him to even challenge Rocky, Tommy knowing Rocky's background, especially as a brawler, and then coming from being a brawler to then becoming a champion in boxing, is almost stupid, in my opinion.
Well, he gets angry, right? He gets impulsive, I would say Tommy does.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And I would say that he reacts very much how maybe a 16 or 17-year-old would when they were playing football or something, they get beat, they get hit a few times, and then all of a sudden, I'll charge at you. And it's like, well, you're now going up against a man who is in his 40s. I guess, yeah, he would be at his in his 40s at this point. And he has a lifelong under his belt of a street brawling. He's going to know what to do to overcome you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
but you don't know me. No one does.
Yeah, he okay. doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. I'm the first of my kind. I've never, no one's ever thought anything like this. And boy, howdy, does Rocky know exactly what to do. Although Rocky gets a lot of good, he gets whooped pretty hard.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
He gets pounded. I mean,
there's a lot of gunshots in this fight.
There's a ton of them. There's a lot of punches, a lot of haymakers. I mean, just after a short talk with Duke, just right off the bat, there's like a tiny little talk with Duke. And then all of a sudden, 9 punches,
yes,
one right after the other. Rocky knocks Tommy Gunn down into the trash. And he says, we were supposed to be like this. And then he hits his hands together. I loved you. I loved you like a son. While his real son is standing right there, by the way.
Thanks, thanks, Dad. That's his real son, by the way. Appreciate it, Dad.
Yeah.
He took my room.
Yeah. Kick his ass. Daddy took my room.
That's a good line for a kid to say, though.
He had some pretty good little zingers in there. I really liked his son in this movie. I felt that his character did a little bit too much of a fast arc, but I really enjoyed how his son became a boxer for self-defense and then beat up the bullies in school. And very much like, I guess this probably gets lost nowadays. I don't know if kids still behave like this. I can't speak because I'm not a kid or I don't have any kids, but he beats up the bully. And then he just is like, hey, look, you want to drop this? And the kid's like, all right, fine. And that's kind of like, you know, they become friends, which is fairly realistic. I mean,
my first big fight in eighth grade, this bully came at me and I ended up getting, I was winning the fight. A teacher pulled us back and was holding me. Then he started punching me. And then we went to the principal's office.
The teacher started punching you?
No, the teacher was holding me. So I got attacked. Then I turned the tide and was beating the kid up. And then a teacher grabbed me. But while I had my hands grabbed from a teacher, this kid just went up and started dropping bombs on me when a teacher was holding me. But then we went to a principal's office, and then we kind of just gave each other taters, and we became buds after that.
And that's the story of leaving good.
Yeah, exactly. The principal, though, man, the principal's like, you know, what are you guys going to say for each other? Like, oh, we're sorry. Like, well, are you guys going to have any more problems? I'm like, no, we're pretty good. And the guy looked at us like, what? What just happened? And so he's like, I should punish you, but I get, wait, you guys are okay? Yeah, and this way he gave us detention, and that was it.
So I saw this movie, Rocky V, and kind of the same thing happened.
I got to tell you, though, all right, Chris Kelly, you're in a street fight. You're Chris Mad Dog Kelly, Chris Son of a Bitch Kelly, one of the two. And you know, you're this big brawler, scrapper, you're in a tracksuit, and you come running at me, and I drop to the ground and scissor kick you into a trip. Are you going to quit?
I think because of my anger, I might try again, but then with my mentality, I would probably assume that you'd be able to beat me, so I would have walked away.
if you're in a fight and someone drops to the ground and scissor kick trips you, you should quit. That's a quit moment. So I'd rather get knocked out than be tripped 18 times in a row. Rocky was so when he was enforcer, a low level enforcer in Rocky, was he tripping people like that?
That's what I mean. We know that he was a brawler because that's where, I mean, in the first movie, that's the issue, is that Rocky is not really a trained boxer and Apollo is. And that's kind of like an issue, right, in that movie. So we know that he is a brawler. So, but we've never seen it actually happen. So by the fifth movie, we finally get to see it happen. And it's like, whoa, where was this for the last four movies?
Who put that trash can out there that Tommy Gunn fell on? Because it was loaded with just paper. I love trash in movies, Chris Kelly.
Yeah, that was a very strategically placed. It was like a trash can dumping ground. There was a lot.
Yeah, who's throwing these perfectly good trash cans out? But I love that 9-punch combo, though. I mean, he just laid
like
into
left
him.
And right.
And then I love that Tommy ran at him and then punched him and then knocked out two random dudes. That's probably my favorite part of this fight, Chris Kelly, because if you're just a geek off the street and you're stepping into a fight between Tommy Gunn and Rocky Balboa and you catch a fist, you're out. He dropped those two guys that were like, hey, Rocky, I got your back. And then, no, I'm not God.
It's like that scene in Kung Fu Hustle where the two guys kick the guy in the face at the same time.
Exactly. I love that movie.
Oh, that's a fantastic one. It's been a minute since I've seen it, but I love that.
But yeah, he's just like, but that felt like a neat little... Okay, for me, that felt like a cool, street fight. I mean, people are trying to get involved, people are trying to help. I love that Sylvester Stallone's pulling. He looked really spry in this movie, by the way. So Stallone, the way he moved, was some of the most spry work I've ever seen from him. But he was just, I loved him flying around. I loved when they crashed through the fence and landed on the street. That thud felt real. A stuntman got hurt on that, and that made me happy.
And I just watched it yet again this morning with my headphones on, and it gave a serious thud. Like, it really is like, boom. But yeah, they crashed through the gate, hit the streets. We got the trains rolling, which I think that was actually a really cool touch. I can't if that was either a nightmare for sound or it was a blessing for the AD department to have that really cool train ripping in the background.
Yeah, it's I mean, I loved all the tricks that they pulled in this fight, though. So in my notes, I just wrote slow motion train, track. Well, I put tracksuit in there, but then I put come on. Then I put Mickey and the Child. Then it looked very Raging Bull for a moment. Then the montage, the blood, the coffin, one more round, fight. Someone says, fight this guy hard. And it's just, then the music pumps in. But it was a really neat, I don't know if you can call it a montage or dream sequence. I don't know what it was. But, I mean, thematically, it wasn't bad. It was actually pretty good.
No, I agree with that. And I really liked how it seems like that was the end of the fight. And then, I guess you call it the ghost of Mick. It was the one who kind of encourages him to get back up. And then he says, hey, yo, Tommy, I didn't hear no bell. Then the fight is on, and Tommy Gunn says to him, I'm not going to knock you out this time. I'm going to put you through the street. And he shoves Rocky, and then they just wail on each other. Rocky grabs Tommy's arm, puts it behind his back, and he just keeps wailing and then punching him and pushing him into the trash can. And then that's when Tommy Gunn gets up, charges at him. That's the scissor kick drop from Stallone, and he hits the ground. Rocky then gets hit 3 times in the stomach, and then he gets punched in the back. And then Tommy swings 4 more times, hits Rocky once in the stomach, and then Rocky shoves him up against the fence and then hits him in the face. Tommy Gunn is down.
I'm telling you, Bobby Bass, the guy who choreographed, he did a good job. Like, this is a good... Okay. A lot of people hate on Rocky V, but there's a fun narrative. You know what's most important, Chris, is there's a narrative to this fight. And I think you care about it, would you say?
Yeah, I'd say that it definitely shows a lot more emotion in this because you really want to see Rocky win. But at the same time, if you think about almost the logistics of it, Rocky would probably die. And actually, to add to that, that was the original intentions of the ending of Rocky V. I did a little light reading, obviously, and I found that the original ending was that Tommy kills Rocky. And the way that we find out is that Rocky is carted off in an ambulance, and Adrian is the one who makes the announcement that Rocky has passed away. Now, Stallone was the one who fought against this to have Rocky actually win the fight and then maybe continue the movie, but he seemed like he was kind of done with it, obviously, because he didn't make another Rocky movie for 16 years. And he just wanted to make it seem more hopeful, I guess you would say. But it is believable that Rocky would have died at this point because he has brain damage, which we've seen him getting the crap beat out of him by Ivan Drago. He has brain damage. He's having flashbacks. He's actually having a hard time coping with his, I don't know, would you say, like, continuing his life after this brain damage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he got destroyed. So he had a case of cave of septum pellucidium, which just really messed up his head, basically.
Like, so for him to do this brawling fight at the end, it would make sense that he would probably die.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think that's too tough, though? Because he comes home after the victory, then he has a shady accountant. He has to sell everything, move back. And so he just, when he gets his life straight again, he dies. And that's like, you start with a downer, you build him up, and then you kill him. That's not...
No.
Audiences don't need that, right? Audiences, there's really no... I gotta tell you, Chris, I do love tough endings. So I know that, I guess, coming up in October, sometime around there, you interviewed Johannes Roberts, who did 47 Meters Down. I love the meanness of those. But this movie didn't really need it. Because every ending's been happy. You can't just start on low and then build him up and then kill him.
Yeah, if we killed him, I think that would have killed the Rocky franchise. And it's not like this movie really helped the Rocky franchise that much, but I think it really would have really hurt the franchise if they did kill him.
I have a question for you. What would happen if Union Kane ran out of nowhere and just started joined in this fight?
Oh, God. Then it would have been a real street brawl. He just got everybody flying in. Duke takes off the fur. He's throwing down.
There's this bodies flying everywhere in the air. And you know what's interesting? The stunt coordinator, the guy who did the stunt coordinator, the fight choreography, his name's Bobby Bass. And I don't know if you know this, but in Lethal Weapon in 1987, Bobby Bass, well, so they introduced jiu-jitsu into, like, I don't know if you watched Lethal Weapon recently, but Martin Riggs uses jiu-jitsu, and one of the Gracies was there, like the famous Brazilian jiu-jitsu family. But Bobby Bass was also known for his headbutts in cinema, but there's no good headbutts in this fight. You have a guy who is known for making headbutts popular again, because in Lethal Weapon there were some amazing headbutts, and there's no headbutts. Would you want headbutts in this fight, Chris Kelly?
I think that would have added a little bit to it, especially if Rocky did a headbutt. But I think also at the same time, if he did do that, I think that a lot of the crowds would have been like, ooh, that's too much.
Yeah, to be fair, this was quite a fair fight. Yes. No one, there were no eye gouges, both these guys have plenty of chances for low blows and eye gouges, but they just deliver gut shots and head punches, I guess. Oh, man, there's one part that I love when so they're trading, and then Tommy, I think, gets the upper hand and just starts. Wait, no, Rocky gets the upper hand, and he just starts delivering 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 body shots. And then he delivers more, and then I wrote a note, 73 body shots. I don't think that happened. But the body work, man. That's what I love.
In my notes, I put it the haymakers from hell.
But this one feels like a street fighter. All right, so when I was a bouncer, a lot of movies and a lot of people in their heads think that when I get into a fight, man, I'm gonna do a 1, 2, 3, 4 on the guy, and he's going to be down in 4 seconds. But then most people, they just throw windmills like they're in Holland, and then they get tired in 10 seconds, then they wrestle a little bit, and then eventually one of them quits. That's what I kind of liked about this fight, is there were ugly moments to it, and it was all over the place. They missed some punches, traded back and forth. I dug it. I love this. Like, I normally had such a bad taste in my mouth about this movie, but I had fun with this final scene. And listen, a lot of people said Tommy couldn't act, or at the time they hired acting coaches for him. So Tommy Morrison, and this, you know, this dude was a like professional boxer. He was the champ in '93. He won the WBO title. And then he fought like against Lennox Lewis. He had fight of the years against all these different boxers. He was a legit guy, man. So it was pretty cool. He was an undefeated actual boxer when he came into this. So I think his physicality looks really well on screen. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he looks really good. And I think it worked with him really well. But I think maybe also at the same time, they could have gone with a better actor. But I don't think they were going with a better actor. They just wanted to have somebody who had the real raw feel of an actual boxer, as opposed to an acting. You want to know something interesting about Lennox Lewis?
Yeah.
His name is actually pronounced Lennox. He just says that he doesn't correct anyone because he realizes that Lennox is the regular pronunciation of it.
Oh, man. I hung out with him for years, and that's all I said. No, I'm joking.
I listened to a podcast with him, and everyone kept calling him Lennox, and he goes, actually, my name is pronounced Lennox. And he's like, you know, I just don't correct anyone because, I know what my name is.
I love it. He doesn't care. He has nothing to prove. I mean, he's one of the best. I don't know if you know, I used to just watch all this boxing, man, back in the day around this Lennox Lewis and all those guys. I used to be obsessed with their fights. So I knew about Tommy Davison. I guess I never associated him with Rocky V for some reason. It's so weird. But I guess they kind of give him the default yelling a lot. I love the scene when he drives away from Rocky's house and we were supposed to be brothers, and he speeds away.
The top is down on Christmas in Philly.
Oh, I love it.
Something tells me that wouldn't really work out.
Now, Rocky does assault George Washington Duke at the end. And George Washington Duke has every right to sue. And Rocky could even go to jail. He's a professional boxer. Yeah, he's a professional boxer who strikes a man. Like that, you know, they could have done Rocky VI in jail and made it undisputed.
Yeah, I mean, he punches him right in the gut and he flies up in the air, very much like in a Friday fashion, and lands on the back of a car. He looks like he's been knocked out too, because he does the big deep breath and then he's like, ugh.
And then Rocky goes, sue for what? Well, I'm gonna sue you for assault. And
he could have concussion, a couple of broken ribs, probably. At least he got a blessing from the priest. I mean, I love it when he does that.
All right, Chris Kelly, We've talked five Rocky fights. Rank them.
Well, now that I'm looking back, I think my answers have probably changed. But I'm going to say Rocky 1 is my favorite. No, you know what? I'm going to stick. Rocky 4 is my favorite. Rocky 1 is number 2. Rocky 2 is... number 2 is number 3. Number 3 would be number 4, and then 5 would be 5.
I love it. Oh, man, what am I going to do, Chris Kelly?
Let's see. You've been pretty strong with picking with the original Rocky being your favorite.
1, 4, 2, 5, 3.
3 is your last?
Clubber Lang? Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's a short fight.
Oh, man, they're all short. This one was barely 7 minutes.
I mean, but like 12 rounds.
That's including the sue me for what line. Hey,
listen, Chris Kelly, I don't want your life, okay? I don't want to get yelled at for my rankings. This is a safe place. We talk about fights here. We don't actually fight, Chris Kelly.
This is the fight podcast, okay? No fighting. No brawling.
There's no fighting in the war room from Dr. Strangelove.
I love that line.
I mean, just the way it starts, the momentum swings, the weird trips, the way Rocky uses the environment to the crowd, to the camera. I mean, this is a fun fight. I dig it. And I think they did just enough with the montages and the blood and the coffin and the tracksuits and the slow motion and the raging bull. The fight is, I don't know, man. I can't think of too many more. This is a fun one. I'm glad we talked about this. And I don't know if it gets enough credit.
I don't think his tracksuit with his name on the back gets enough credit, to be honest with you. And I missed that whole craze with people wearing tracksuits with their names printed on. And I wish that would come back. That's one of the part of the 90s, which I hope does make a comeback.
And I love how they were rolling around in one scene, because every street fight I've ever watched, there's rolling around. It just happens.
Yeah,
just...
eventually you're going to fall down, and then you're going to have to start wailing on each other. One person's going to get the upper hand, or the other person gets the upper hand, or the one allows the other one to get the upper hand, two get the upper hand, and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you know what's fun? This isn't funny, but when I was younger, I witnessed a street fight, and the guys were rolling around, and I think they were playing by the rules, but one of the dudes just, like, when they're rolling around, just grabbed the other guys, like just grabbed him right in the dick, and everybody in the crowd went no, like, ew, come on, man, like everyone, even his friends were yelling at him. So like, I guess that's good that Rocky didn't headbutt him, because everyone had been like, that's too much. But I remember that, and everyone just kind of booed the fight.
That's one way to win the fight, I'll give you that.
Oh no, the guy started yelling, but people just kind of like, oh man, that's cheap, like that's not. Come on.
Yeah, it's certain things like that. And the rules of fighting, there are certain rules. And it is like the cheap shots, like when the guy has his back turned and then the other guy wallops him. That's always frowned upon, because it's not a fair hit. And then you're like, boo. And then the guy, well, you know, if he does win, who did that? No one thinks of him as like as doing a good job. They're like, yeah, but you punched the guy in the back, or, you know, you kicked him in the groin. And that never works.
You use the catapult, man.
You jumped on a trampoline, then.
All right. So, what's your favorite part of this fight? What's the thing you love the most before we get out of here?
I love when Tommy Gunn charges Rocky and they bust through that grate. Oh, I love that. That's a really good shot. I like that so much, because it really it brings that from a closed in area like a ring and pushes it into a street, which would be a more open area. And you really, at that point, you really don't know what could happen next, because now they are no longer in the safety of this box, which I liked a lot.
I just love the thud after they bust through that grate.
Listen to it again with the bass cranked up. It's like, boom.
I love it when I watch a movie and I'm like, yeah, whoever fell hurt got hurt. Yeah. I felt that with that.
You really felt it with these guys too, because it's not like they're really wearing protective clothing at all. I mean, but they are obviously wearing pads and everything, but it looks like these guys got messed up a little bit.
Oh, I love it. It makes me happy. Oh, it's perfect.
Only in America.
Only in America. I'm going to sue you. Well, he's legit going to sue him. So on our next final fights, we'll talk about the lawsuit battle in court. The way those lawyers duel Chris Kelly.
And then the lawyers take it out. They're like, well, my courtroom's in the streets.
The lawyers start fighting? Oh, man. Oh, man.
The courtroom turns into an all-out brawl.
I'm going to give you a 2.
All of a sudden, a piano gets pushed into the courtroom and some guys just start playing some honky-tonk music.
just the benches in the back just go flying. Papers everywhere.
Exile on Main Street just gets turned on the soundtrack from somewhere out of nowhere. Rip This Joint is blaring in the background.
water spraying from the water fountains, like inside.
The judge throws his gavel, hits Rocky.
What do you do that, judge?
Court's adjourned.
Clunk. Oh, whoa. How did that come?
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. All right, cool. Well, hey, man, this was fun. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. I'm looking forward to talking about Rocky Balboa.
Oh, hey, do you want to promote your podcast real quick before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'd love to. My podcast is called Classic American Movies. I do a podcast with my girlfriend, Miriam, and I introduce her to various different types of films, and we do deep research on all of them. And we discuss the background of the movie, as well as talking about the history of the actors and the crew involved. And it's a learning experience, basically. A lot of my friends and people have sent me emails and messages saying that what they enjoy the most about it is that they actually learn a lot from listening to the podcast. So it's not just us having a good time and me showing a movie to my girlfriend. It's educational as well. It's called Classic American Movies. It can be found just about anywhere you can find your pods. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher. And also to go with Classic American Movies, I have Cult Classics with Chris, where I actually reach out to those involved in making of cult classic films to interview them about the making of their film. Those seem to be a really big hit. A lot of audiences seem to be responding positively to that. So far, I've interviewed I've interviewed the co-director of Out Cold. I've done the guys that did Blood Car, Liquid Sky, and they seem to be catching on really well. So just go ahead and check it out, guys. I had a lot of fun making them, and I'm getting a lot of positive responses from them.
Listen to the Way of the Gun episode.
Oh man, that was a lot of folks really enjoyed that one as well. That was a big hit as well.
Cool. Well, yeah, listen to that. Enjoy Chris's podcast and listen to more Final Fight. For me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Chris Kelly, this is Final Fights. We'll see you next week.